We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Mike Florio joins us at 10. Mark Grody will report on the Bears from Denver at 10:40. Midday Midway at 11. Kelly Krull at 11:40. Len Casper at noon. A pair of chances to win $1,000 cash just because you're listening to this show. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number at WSCR The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. It's where you listen to us live because we're streaming at 670thescore.com. Texting, sexting occasionally, 67011. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Download the radio.com app to stream The Score on your mobile device. It is the new and improved radio.com app. You can run it through all your devices. You can run it through your car. There you can keep The Score a part of your life through radio.com. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. We also have a Facebook page, and you can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Also, at Facebook Live and watch 670thescore.com, there's these video cameras here.
Hello.
Hello. That's our video feed that is directed by Brian Gertsch. Our producers are Jay Zawoski.
You want to be assured that they're going to go back and make an adjustment, and that's what I asked for. He didn't want to talk about that. You know, he didn't want me to tell him that. I just basically said, well, that's why, you know, we want an electronic strike zone. You know, and that's what obviously got me tossed.
Yeah, that'll do it.
You're why we need robots.
Your job should be done by a computer. Get up on out of here.
On the board, Rick Camp.
What up, David? Make sure you get on the jugs, David. All right, cool. Good talk.
And you can't catch a cold butt-ass naked in Alaska.
Uh-huh.
That's a very specific place to not be able to catch a cold.
Yeah, I laughed out. I had to rewind that to make sure I heard it right. You can't catch a cold butt-ass naked in Alaska. I didn't know that there are more cold viruses available
in
Alaska.
Yeah, many, many more.
Kind of the science.
The Aleutian Islands have often been home to many a cold strain.
Any rhinoviruses?
Absolutely.
In the back, doing what the executioner does, he's Eli Hershkovich.
That autographed baseball that went for over $650,000. It had Babe Ruth on it, among others. $650,000 for a baseball because a few people put their John Henrys on it.
Never stop being you. Yes,
because a few people put their John Henrys on.
Well, they might have. I'm not quite sure what they put on it. If that doesn't mean their signature, I'm not quite sure what it is. But hey, okay. So is Hugh Jackson a total clown?
Yeah, maybe. The Hard Knocks ain't doing him any favors. I mean, zero favors. Tyrod Taylor looks like more of a coach than Hugh Jackson does.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Okay, let's give everything the benefit of the doubt, right? For just a moment, because, you know, we usually don't operate that way on the show. But if you're going to tell me that Tyrod Taylor, the starting core, who you acquired from another organization, his first year with the Cleveland Browns, looks at a coach after a crap practice, one where you've got every single assistant coach and coordinator and head coach screaming at guys about not running around, about jogging, about not moving places. And Tyrod Taylor looks at Hugh Jackson and goes, hey, you could put a camera up and just let it roll and then bring that footage back for guys in the room and point out where they're walking. And Hugh Jackson's like, I'm sorry, did you say camera? This is a great idea. Look, what? How are you editing it that way?
It isn't just that. Remember when Jarvis Landry had his "we need to practice harder" tirade?
Yes.
Apparently, Hugh Jackson's response to reporters was, "Jarvis will understand how we do things around here." What? You're supposed to loaf through practice?
Best case scenario, the editing crew of Hard Knocks has decided to not do Hugh Jackson any favors. Worst case scenario, this is the best they've got from him. Mm-hmm. It's mind-boggling looking at some of that tape, looking at some of that stuff, I hate to make too much out of a produced, you know, pseudo reality television show, but you got some comments from a number of different players in there. Take a look at what was the other one too? Njoku, right? He's dropping a couple balls in practice, and it's go catch 30 on the jugs machine. Are you a small child who forgot to take the garbage out? I'm reading stories about Antonio Brown catching 150 off the jugs machine, one-handed either side with a defensive back that he's recruited from the third string, holding him down the whole time.
Ask the Bears about what Jordan Howard is doing with the jugs machine. They're like,
kidding me?
Hey, you got to go catch. You got to count to 30. 30? Oh, no, not 30.
As much as you and I are astounded by some of the fake machismo and the nonsense that some like college coaches, some of the stories we've covered there the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
but this is a
Maryland yesterday.
Oh, that's a completely different story. That is a different scenario than do your job, right? That's a different situation than be accountable in practice, be a teammate, show up and play football hard. What message is being sent back and forth with this team?
How about the way they responded to Antonio Callaway? From John Dorsey to Hugh Jackson, and Hugh Jackson gets in front of the team. This is a guy that gets arrested, right, for marijuana possession.
I don't know. Was he booked? Technically, no. I don't think he was booked.
He was pulled over and cited. He was cited for marijuana possession, pulled over by police, and it seemed like the cop was giving him sort of a benefit of the doubt. There, you know, I got to do this. There's a pervasive smell of marijuana, et cetera. I got to know this. But then the way the team used it, the way the team framed it, when Hugh Jackson got up in front of everybody and calls him out in a way that I was underwhelmed. So I'm looking forward to getting to that.
It was the one excuse, right? Everybody gets one. You get a mulligan for driving around with a bad excuse for weed in your car or whatever. I mean, it's not doing him any favors.
You get one. And then John Dorsey sort of says, look, the issue was people are out to get you or people are waiting for something bad to happen to you. It wasn't, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you driving around with a car with weed in it?
It's always weird the way...
It's just the team sort of took his... and tried to protect him. And instead of coming down and saying, stop doing this... They just said, oh, you know, people are waiting for you to slip up. And then Hugh Jackson gets up and says this.
This isn't college football. It's National Football League. And just to put it out there plainly, you're under the microscope. They want to see you up. You know why? But you got to prove to them, you know what? I'm a man. I've learned from my past. I've learned from my mistakes. And we're moving forward.
I mean, we're dealing with something that all this can be prevented. You check your car, first of all. You know your history. You can't take a chance. You can't put first yourself in this situation. You can't put us in this situation. Now, listen, you got talent, but talent ain't everything I'm looking for. I want you to become a man here and responsible and accountable to John and me, this organization, and your teammates. Or else I wouldn't keep you on the team. I'm just being very honest with you, okay? If comes up, you have my number. You got John's number. You call us ASAP, okay? That's what I expect from you from here on in. I believe you. But if I'm wrong on this one, then I'm going to have your ass.
All right, so that's their private meeting. And then he just has him stand up in front of the team and say, look, he got his one mulligan. And you get
he's
one.
He's used. Okay, go to the board where we've got everyone's mulligans keeping track.
Right.
Scratch his name off the list. He's used his mulligan. No other mulligans will be awarded to Callaway.
Now, I know you're thinking this. If you are a keen listener and you know one of my draft philosophies, what is it?
Take the weed guy, right?
Aha, yes.
Take the weed
this one, and I'm owning this, he was a weed guy.
Absolutely.
That this was, you knew this was an issue with him. And
Fourth rounder.
Or would have been taken higher.
Could have absolutely gone
had
higher.
Had he not already had some red flags because of weed. And I'm the take the weed guy. There's value. There's a market inefficiency in when weed guys drop, you get extra value because you're going to take the weed guy and you're going to just get him at a place where you wouldn't have otherwise gotten him.
Well, your weed guy is going to be at a room today where Dez Bryant's having an interview. So
yeah.
Great. Go ahead and push down the depth chart there.
Yeah, wasn't it clear, too, that John Dorsey is all? He really wants Dez Bryant.
You know Dez Bryant's name on this list.
And the analytics guy's like, yeah, he's 30. He's like 29.7 or something like that.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, John. Yeah. Like, we didn't keep track of that here in the nerdery.
Yeah.
The Antonio Callaway, too, is, you know, they made him play the entire preseason game, right? Or 78% of the snaps, whatever the hell the offensive count was. He played pretty much the entire game. Meanwhile, that's a coaching staff who, do you remember the conversation that that Jackson and Todd Haley, and I forget the dude's first, is Freddie Kitchens, the running backs coach?
I have to say, too.
How they were going back and forth about how, you know, if these guys are injured, we're not going to have them in practice. They're not going to dress. We can't, because then you don't have them later on, and we all feel that coming down. I understand you want them here. You want them to push through injuries. You want to be out of practice. We got stuff to learn. That's all well and good to keep those guys out of practice, but Antonio Callaway is going to play the whole preseason game. We're not worried about that injury there. Everything's fine. We're just going to throw out punishments without thinking about any kind of consequence.
Sliding scale for everybody, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what the NFL is. I think in a weird way, as much as it doesn't look good for some of the coaching staff through this show, what you're seeing maybe more starkly painted for you is the fact that the NFL is a weird workplace, and it's not worth drawing any comparisons between yours and theirs.
And why does John Dorsey always look like he was just at the track?
Wearing the crew neck sweater?
That's because he always was.
Is that his thing?
The old man's sweater?
Yeah, he looks like he had just left the window or just thrown a losing ticket on the floor and, you know, went over and grabbed a cheeseburger. And like, he comes out of his office. Like, it's just, there's an odd vibe with that team. And I also have to admit that Todd Haley's kind of growing on me again. I can't quit him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because
I thought for sure this would be a wake-up moment for everybody. No, Todd.
Here's the thing. He's a complete Deutsche Bank.
Yes.
But he's also immensely entertaining on this show, and he knows it, too.
Did you think the Carl thing was funny? The Carl Nassib thing? Because I'm
thinking, who names a baby Carl?
I've heard that bit hundreds of times.
I haven't.
With Carl or whatever, Bob even. I mean, it's
a George Carlin thing, remember? Yeah. George Carlin goes Brent. Who has a child and names the kid Brent?
You will grow up into a fine man.
Right, and then
Brent.
And so he did this bit, and I don't know where and then the next name that he singles out is Todd. He goes, this is Brent, and this is Todd. So I said it, of course, to my longtime agent is looking forward to the Bears hitting the practice field against another team. Everything ratchets up a little bit. They are trying to tell everybody don't punch each other because that's stupid.
They're trying to tell everybody that.
That's what it seemed. Both
Vance
Joseph.
Really close to, hey, you know, it's not a great idea to punch if you have to punch, I guess. They're just trying to tell everybody not to punch.
Practice fights, training camp fights. Well, this shows they're growing beyond their control. They're tired of seeing the same people every day. They're all pulling on the same end of the same rope. Oh, stop it. It's not going to make you any better at football by punching somebody who's wearing a helmet. They're wearing helmets. Your punches aren't doing anything. They're wearing armor.
Feel better. It makes you feel better, you know, except for the broken hand that you might come up with after slapping somebody in a helmet.
Weird day yesterday. Weird day for the Bears to only put Roquan Smith up for a gangbang style conference where he's not sitting at a table, he's not at a lectern, it was not formal, it was just, hey, you know, grab him, ask some questions, get him out of there.
Right, yeah, it was just at the end of our show, because we were cut short by Cubs baseball yesterday. Emma and Grody, Chris Emma and Mark Grody did a good job throwing the tape around so we could turn it around. It's just the 5 minutes of Roquan Smith saying that this is between my agent and Mr. Pace, it's between my agent and Mr. Pace, and also it's between my agent. Mr. Pace.
Yeah, he didn't do anything. If it matters to Roquan Smith that he's perceived as just an innocent naif in this whole thing and a pawn of the system, he didn't do anything to make us think otherwise.
No, and I'm still not convinced that he's an innocent naif or a pawn of the system, because there's really not a lot of evidence for that either, at least not in what he said. He just left it out there as, at least my interpretation of it is, he left it out there to do the guys he paid to do that job to do that job. And I would hope that a guy like Roquan, with the history he's had of decommitting to UCLA, well, not he never signed the letter, of knowing that UCLA wasn't going to be his best opportunity, knowing that, it was his DC or his linebackers coach, or maybe it was both. Now I'm failing to remember. Maybe Texters can help out. I think it was the linebackers coach. He left. That wasn't the opportunity he wanted. Never signed the letter. Went to Georgia. Got himself a better situation. Got himself a system and a college that helped him get into the first round. The evidence points to Roquan being cognizant of what that kind of larger picture looks like, if not orchestrating the whole thing to begin with. That said, I don't really mind if he's going to come out here and tell you, well, that's between my agent and Mr. Pace. Because what it kind of did, a little, is let you know that you probably ought to talk to Mr. Pace.
Ah.
Mr. Pace was not available for you yesterday. Not available for you. And apparently hasn't been available for Bears writers, for Bears fans.
About a month, right?
Yeah, I think, we were talking about it during the pre-show. July 19th, I think it was. I think David Haw wrote that.
Yeah, we're closing in on a month.
It's not like it's new, though. This is the way he's always worked.
You're right.
For it to be a different type of expectation because something else happened, this is the way Ryan Pace has operated from day one, and it's been known in media circle that even with the new coach, that's not changing.
And there's really no accountability for it. I mean, what can you do?
Nothing.
All teams are working that way. It doesn't mean it's right. It just means it's happening.
No, but at the same time, when Roquan makes that play and lets you know that my agent and Mr. Pace worked this out, it just kind of shifts some things a little bit, doesn't it? At least it does for me. It shifts things just a little bit. And Ryan Pace declining to talk, declining to speak yet again, given the opportunity by either player or media, I would have preferred him say something.
This segment is brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma today. Credit Karma, get knowing. Here's our idiot texter of the day from the 773.
935, the under hit.
That didn't take long. Bernstein, truly amazing how you complain about college coaches being too, T.O., hard on players, then complain about NFL players being soft. Those college coaches being hard on players develops a attitude and work ethic. Okay.
If you can't understand the difference between not treating heat stroke.
Yeah, the difference between failing to treat heat stroke and abusing and bullying kids until they're hurt or dead, throwing weights at them, etc. And you're confusing that with professional football coaches asking guys to run hard in practice and do extra work to improve skills that might be lacking. If you genuinely don't understand the difference, then you're beyond help. If you think that the two things are in any way similar, of a coach at any level asking somebody to work hard in practice or a strength and conditioning coach saying drag his ass across the field when his temperature is 106, his organs are failing and they refuse to get his temperature down and he dies.
Well, they'd have to take his temperature first to figure out whether his temperature was 106. That was what it was when they got him to the hospital. It might have been as high as 110.
Yep.
You're right. I mean, that's not nuance. That's not a small little distinction in the subtext of the conversation here.
If you don't know
that, ought to be right out in front for you.
Between an abusive culture, even going back to Tim Beckman, and where the trainers say, "Yeah, he might have hurt his spine. Tell him to turn his head. Tell him to turn his head." That kind of thing. If you don't understand the difference between that and a coach needing to be told by a quarterback, saying, "Yeah, you might want to show guys and." Practice that they're loafing a little bit, because when you get called out on film, it kind of embarrasses guys into working hard.
And they didn't even take the time to have like Hugh talk with the coaches about how it was going to be pointed out. It was like Tyrod tells Hugh to put it on tape. Smash cut to Hugh showing people the tape.
Yeah, like, good idea, Tyrod. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, the 815. How dare you not fight through heat stroke? You know what's going to happen? This is going to translate into making the military weaker again if we aren't making our kids tough enough to fight through heat stroke. At Larry Fedora. I'm sure that's exactly.
Yeah, meanwhile, work through that.
Did you hear what's going on in Chapel Hill? Apparently, several of the high schools in Chapel Hill are not able to field varsity teams for football.
No.
And somebody asked Larry Fedora, why do you think that is? And he said, I don't know. I don't know the culture at these schools.
Whoa. That's kind of part of your job?
No, but he just said...
to recruit?
Yeah, I'm not sure why they're getting... Because he knows exactly why they're getting rid of high school football. It's happening here in this area. Talk to coaches of some of the teams here. Where they're how many programs here are merging fresh and soft now?
It's,
because
it's people the culture,
are,
though.
No, it's culture. Not enough of a football culture. I'm playing through heat stroke. That's damn
right.
It.
That's right.
Here's your Cubs lineup. Javier Baez leads off today. Baez leading off, playing second. Jason Hayward bats second. He's in right. David Bote bats third, plays third. Anthony Rizzo is your cleanup hitter. Albert Elmora is in center, batting fifth. Kyle Schwarber bats sixth. He's in left. Wilson Contreras catching. Kyle Hendricks pitching. Addison Russell bats ninth and plays short.
So
against
Junior Guerra. A little bit of a different lineup for the Cubs and Joe Maddon this afternoon at Wrigley Field. When we come back, I read a couple of notes in Mark Gonzalez's, you know, gamer or however you want to term it. I know the gamer's kind of dead here, but notes about the offense that struck me pretty hard looking at this Cubs team over the last 5-6 games or so. I understand that the pitching has been drawing a lot of the attention because of how subpar it's been all season long, and it's a problem. But you look at some of the notes that Gonzo put down about this offense. You look at some of the overall performances, just the last handful of games, or really even going back to the All-Star break itself. One guy's kind of been covering up for a lot of underperformance across the board for the Cubs.
Okay.
And some of these notes are going to point it out, I think, in a pretty big way.
All right, that's next on the score. Is he going to get fined for that?
I hadn't thought about that.
Did he couch it enough, regardless of the couple of calls by the umpire? Does that merit?
No, I don't think that's, that doesn't feel like fine to me.
Okay.
I think he couched it.
Okay.
It's been couched. It's love seated anyway.
At the very least, it's been love seated.
Fully couched, certainly love seated. He can fit two on that for sure. The Cubs offense has struggled quite a bit over their last 11 games. They have scored 5 runs, as Mark Gonzalez notes in the Chicago Tribune today. 11 runs over their last 5 games. But that's not the thing that struck me most, as Gonzo was kind of writing up after this first game of 2 against the Milwaukee Brewers, over whom the Cubs have a 2-game lead in the AL Central, NL Central. The 5 at-bats Anthony Rizzo has had since the beginning of month with runners in scoring position. He's only had 5 at-bats with runners in scoring position since the beginning of this month. I know he's working out of the leadoff spot, so that's something to keep in mind. But Joe has moved that pitcher into the 8 spot in the lineup so as to get him an extra AB. We talked to Joe about this yesterday a little bit too, and he likes the idea of, especially when Rizzo's in the leadoff spot. I know we got the lineup today. The pitcher's in the 8 spot again with Javi Baez at the leadoff spot. I find it interesting that you move things around a little bit. Noticeably, even though Anthony Rizzo, out of that top spot and since the All-Star break, has been not necessarily the Anthony Rizzo of really clicking things together, of super, super power numbers, but the slash line is anything but disappointing. It's 319, 426.
Joe clapped back at me when I was talking about Rizzo.
Yeah, he gave you a little bit. And 5 home runs over his last 24 games, it's a pretty decent number, if not spectacular, certainly decent. It's Javi Baez, though. He of the MVP candidacy, who's had it slip away just a little bit, well, with the surge of Matt Carpenter and his kind of drop. I saw Joe Ostrowski note this yesterday or day before on Twitter that in total war, Javi's slipped a couple of percentage points or decimals, I guess. And since August 1st, you know, the beginning of this month, when Anthony Rizzo's had just 5 at-bats with runners in scoring position, Javi Baez, 244, 300 on base, 578 slugs. So he's doing what he's doing, hitting for a ton of power. But that slash line looks a lot like the Javi Baez that can be victimized some by a really high swing rate, one that we've been talking about a lot with Jeff Sullivan yesterday, too. So as frustrating as this starting rotation has been, and it certainly has been, and a start like Quintana had yesterday against the Brewers, a team he had so much success against really his whole career, and certainly, you know, in his one-plus season with the Cubs, that's disappointing. But offensively, This team has not been the one that gives that starting rotation margin for error. We talk a lot about that defense, about the way the Cubs play defense, making up for a lack of swing and miss across the board in that starting rotation. You got to have the offense go with it too. And if there's a silver lining in this, it's the run differential the Cubs have to begin with. The idea, pretty specifically, that even without Chris Bryant, though you'd certainly rather have him than not, even if he's not at 100%, I think, you've got a pretty decent offense. You're likely to swing yourself back into this thing. This rotation right now, as bad as it feels, as rough as this is, it could get worse. I mean, there's worse performances involved. Look at the way John Lester's pitched since the All-Star break. Look at the couple of starts Jose Quintana's given you. I mentioned a couple of days ago, doing the show on NBC Sports, and I mentioned the luxury they have in Mike Montgomery coming out and throwing. And I got pushed back on that a little bit, and I understand it. But remember, not a lot of teams get to go to their sixth guy, their seventh guy,
right,
and have average MLB starter walk into the rotation and throw. And if that's the worst Mike Montgomery's been, which you could argue he's been better than that, you could argue in a couple starts he's been worse than that. You put that together, you get average starter. Not a lot of teams get to do that. The Cubs have been able to do that. Your next ask, though, is going to be an even tougher one. If you don't get John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, and Jose Quintana shaping back up into, you know, just the middling of their projections, this becomes a lot more difficult for this team.
Let me give you this number here. These are second half stats. So this is post All-Star break. Okay? This guy is batting .235, on base .316, slugging .353. Okay? It's an OPS of .669. And his weighted on base average is .293. His WRC plus is 80. Who am I talking about?
Boy, I mean, in my head, you could be talking about one of three players.
Okay, let's see if the cloud of players is correct here. Who am I talking about?
I've got you at Schwarber, nope. I think, first and foremost. Okay,
nope.
I'll move down the list to Addison Russell then.
Nope.
And then I'll head to right and give you Jason Hayward.
Nope.
Wow. So the cloud needs to get larger.
Keep going.
That is unfortunate.
Again, batting .235. On base .316, slugging .353.
The Contreras?
Yes.
Okay.
That's Wilson Contreras since the All-Star break.
You know, and that's the position I worry least about.
Okay.
But only because, and I know we talked with Len, and I think you two were all on board. Wilson Contreras is one of the best offensive catchers in the National League, if not the game, you know, beside that whole Buster Posey character. He's
J.P. Realmuto, buddy.
I like J.T. Realmuto, too. Yeah, no doubt about it.
J.T. Realmuto, yes.
J.P. Arencibia,
correct,
though, not so much of a swinger. Power guy, sure. But the bar for catcher offense is so low. Mm-hmm. If you fluctuate back and forth, if you're going to be that guy that has a hot month and a cold month, then a hot month, then a tepid month, fine, no problem. I just, you know, as those offensive numbers have kind of slipped for Wilson, and perhaps they rebound, I don't know, but you haven't seen the defensive capabilities, the pitch framing stuff, the stuff on the margins.
It's not helping.
You haven't seen that tick up,
it's not helping.
You'd hoped that it would. And I know there are a lot of people going to tell you that pitch framing, and it's well researched, and I think there's points on either side, and I'm not smart enough to really one way or the other give you the cut, but you'd like to see a little bit more improvement. You really would. At least I would.
We've got Mike Florio joining us to talk some football in just a couple minutes. Speaking of Mike Florio, he is going to be part of our football lineup this season. We are very close to finalizing the Bernstein and McKnight football expert roster.
I've got a list.
Yeah,
here.
A little bit later on in the show,
okay,
we're gonna let you in on what we've been talking about and show you our rough draft of what our routine football week is gonna look like.
Big old plan.
Yeah, the spoiler alert is it's awesome.
It's really good.
It's really good, and it's gonna be a whole lot of fun this in our first football season as the Scores Midday Show. But that's what we are. Bernstein and McKnight. It's Mike Florio next on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.